Welcome back to another episode of the Exterminatus Podcast, all things competitive in the world of Warhammer 40,000. My name's Eric. With me is my co-host Ray and Robert.
Hello.
Well, I swear I wasn't stuck in the broom
out of the broom closet. Out and about, and it's been an exciting week. We've had Adepticon, the granddaddy of all fan-run grand tournaments. We had a reveal from Games Workshop and a big announcement from FLG regarding the future of their events. So a lot to break down. Let's get right to the GW preview. It's very different format as well as interesting mix. And let's be honest, it was mostly a Age of Sigmar 4th edition, I believe is what they're up to. That was the big announcement. But there's still stuff for 40K and Kill Team to keep us up on our toes. So first, what did you guys think of the format? Because it was very different.
Well, I understanding how they make these things, the fact that they do pre-recorded interviews and just slap them all together and call it a file, like, it's okay and it's efficient, but there's something to be said about doing legitimate interviews and actually streaming things, because that's how you find out some of the funny answers, because they can't redo the interview.
Honestly, I just missed Eddie. I just felt that the guys that they brought in to do the interviews, as well as it was nice to see new people in terms of some of the cast members behind the scenes that actually work on the models, but some of them were just not ready for prime time. And I really missed, you know, Eddie used to hold that show together, and I hope he's still with the company, because it was a little jarring. I don't know. I think the plan was okay, just the execution was a little lacking. So, Ray, what did you think?
Kind of neutral about it. It's just another way to do it. I kind of miss when it was a little, like, live. It's like, oh yeah, you're gonna watch. You might see it after everybody else,
right?
But you'll see it live.
Oh, don't worry about it. It's part
of
the show.
Sorry about the dog barking.
Wouldn't be a show without the dog. No, I agree with you with it. There's something that the energy was kind of missing with it not being live. The other thing I thought was weird was you had like the interviewer on the left and the interviewees on the right and a little coffee table, and those, and on the coffee table were the models. And I was kind of like, can we zoom back in on the models? It's almost like they should have been the reverse. Here's the models on the big screen, and then the interviewer, the humans, were kind of in a picture-in-picture on the side. Not the other way around. So I felt myself struggling. Like, all right, stop talking already. I need to see them again to see what the heck you guys, you know, what are these models? Did I see what I think I saw in the first preview? So it was very bizarre. I don't know.
I think the reason why they did that is so that way they didn't have the images cycling through. So that way people who were creative can't like pause, zoom in, get the measurements, all this other stuff. But like,
okay,
I have my tinfoil hat on right now. I'm coming up with all the funny theories.
I guess maybe that's what it was. Well, anyway, let's break into what they actually showed off. So first thing was for 40K was interesting for Chaos Space Marines. And I have to say, these models are really cool looking.
Yeah, but the way you get them is kind of poo-poo.
I missed that part. What did I miss?
They're coming out in the patrol. They're saying Battle Force, but they look more like the combat patrol boxes. But it might be that they're like 1,000-point versions instead of the 500 that patrols are.
I was wondering why they were pushing those things so hard. I was like, okay, those look like fun box sets. Okay.
Well, the one that comes with the Chaos Lord on foot comes with Terminators, Chosen, and Legionnaires.
And Possessed,
yes. I was trying to remember that last unit. The one with the flying Chaos Lord comes with Raptors, Cursed Cultists, some weird cultist character mob, and then a Demon Prince.
And then haven't seen.
So really, if you're just getting into Chaos Space Marines, like this is, you're using this to get started, they're perfect, actually. Because those weird Chaos models, as you put it, have been very popular.
Mm-hmm.
I was about to say, that might be what I need to update my army.
Yeah, I was just catching remarks of, well, you've been playing Chaos for forever. You already have the army. You want these new models. Well, it's the Master of Possession all over again. You can only find it in one spot, and you have to shuck out some large amount of money to get a single model.
Yeah, in this case, they're probably going to be about 210 each.
Usually.
That being said, I mean, looking at what's in them,
usually it's about 30% you're saving money. Off retail is usually what you get. So I think you hit on the right on the head there, Ray, though. If you're starting out or if you really need a good foundation to start building an army, this is a perfect place to start. So,
yeah, like that first one with the Foot Chaos Lord and the Terminators and stuff is the, all right, I just want generic Space Marines. How do I get them? That box. The Dread Talon is if you want some like extra flavor because of the Demon Prince and stuff. But the backbone is that other box with the On Foot Chaos Lord. Yeah, the veterans of the Long War. But original.
We've never accused of Games Workshop of being original.
But yeah, then the only other thing for 40K, it made me snooze. The kill teams are cool and all. The pioneers on foot for Votann are neat. Otherwise, that's kind of underwhelming.
Actually, I kind of like the Votann right off the bat. I mean, I know some of the comments in the chat were hilarious. You know, oh yeah, wearing a coat over your armor is not too overly confining, but I like them. I really did. And but again, it's one of those. This army is like the antithesis of how I want to play the game. So maybe this will get me to play kill teams. I only have to buy these one guys, and I have an army to go. But also the Gene Steeler Cult, the Brood Brothers. Finally, we have a kit that looks like they're guard, but they're not guard. You know, you can definitely tell the difference between this and Gene Steeler Cult versus the guard guys. And they look just like the ones from Warhammer Plus. So I was like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and so in the case of the Votann and the Jaegers, what this is at least this is how it looks. This is a way for them saying, hey, Votann, you've got more to come, more good stuff. Here's just one of the things you're going to get a little early.
Yeah, it's a good way to look at it. So,
yeah, like the Pioneers were probably the most glossed over unit out of everything. Just because it was like, oh, hey, they're bikers. Do they do anything else? No? Okay. You couldn't build them really any other way besides the one guy with the turret on the back. Now you get an option for here's probably a cheaper unit that in the terms of 40K will probably have either infiltrate or scout.
Or both. You can get both.
Yeah. But you're not having to fumble with three medium-sized ovals.
I don't know. I just found out firsthand how powerful those damn bikes are. So I'm curious with these guys, if you now have three units of those bikes and then you have these guys on the table, this could be a very, very different feeling Votann army.
Yeah. All of the.
Yeah, that's exactly.
All of the sneaky stuff.
All of a sudden. And, you know, they get on the objectives quick. And then once you get those off, that's what's one extra turn that you're not shooting the trucks. And you're like, uh-oh, now the Saboteurs are all over everywhere. Oh, this is not good.
But yeah, outside of that, like the Sigmar reveals were cool and everything, but I basically tuned out as they were talking about 4th edition and blah, 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 until they mentioned they were changing the way objectives and combat work.
Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise when he started to going off on this combat range thing. I was like, what's this about? And it's always scary when they turn a new rule like that. Like, are we going to see this in 40K? What does this mean?
Well, like, one of the little issues I had with Sigmar when I would try to play it is, in fact, the you have to stay outside of 3 inches of your opponent, but you can have different guys at different ranges for attacking things. Like, spears are longer, blah, blah, like, all that stuff is cool, but it's not very efficient. Because then you run into people going, all right, I need this guy here. Kind of like the template issue again, where it's you spread out just far enough to do everything. And plus the objectives being 6 inches to a central point. Blah.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting they're bringing space. Cards in, just like the Leviathan missions. Yeah, I was
kind of not surprised by that at all.
They're bringing that to the play. It seems like they're keeping the double turn. I was like, okay, still have a. I guess it's one of those things. If you play the game, you're used to it, or you're learned how to work around it, or I don't know. It's just one of those. Like, oh. But the graphics were splashy, and judging from the chat, everybody's really excited about the rats coming back. So I'm like, okay. So,
well, at that point, even I was kind of excited. Like, oh, hey, it's Skaven. How many tables are going to be flipped over a guy rolling and blowing himself up?
Yeah, I don't know. I love the screaming bell. That was a lot of fun. But beyond that, I'm just like, I hated playing Skaven. I was like, oh. Yeah, more nonsense for Old World was brought out. Here's some more recycled models. I'm like, okay, great. That could trigger me tonight on that. And then I'm trying to remember, there was one of the Sigmar. I think the Dark Elves got some new stuff. I was like, oh, okay, that could be some new Chikari things I could switch over. Oh no, it was the tree guys. It's like. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, the Sylvaneth guys had stuff for new Dryads,
along with some new tree spirit people, which I'm like, oh, cool. But now, sooner or later, we'll be getting real mandrakes for plastic. So I was like, oh, I guess I don't need to convert them too much. So,
but you could give one of them a beehive, cool, Eric.
That was kind
of
cool. But
yeah. Listening to the entire explanation of that Underworlds thing, it's like, I don't care about any of this. They spent, like, I think a solid 15 minutes talking about Underworlds and Warcry. And I'm just like, the only thing I care about from this bit is that god dang man-eating tree. That man-eating tree is hilarious.
I think it was the kite-eating tree from Charlie Brown, but anyway.
Yeah, I mean, either way, that'd be a fun little terrain piece to go, doo-doo-doo. Hey, you walked by the terrain piece. Yeah? Why? Roll the die. Oh, you rolled a one. Oh, model got eaten.
Days of a mysterious terrain. No, thank you. The other thing I thought was really, really bizarre was almost, these are game systems I really could not care less about, but for some reason, I saw what they did, and I got, like, furious. It was both for Necromunda and for the new epic, I forgot what they call it now. Thank you. They didn't have Imperials, all they had was like a teaser. Like, they had the old silhouetted models. I'm like, wait, I got to wait till like Nova to find out what this stuff is? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, actually, I don't think the thing for Imperialis, I think it was actually just for Horus Heresy in general.
Yeah, not Imperialis. I'm pretty sure that was for just Horus Heresy in general, and it's just a teaser because they're going to bring a lot of the stuff that was resin for the Mechanicus into plastic, like they did with the Solar Auxilia. Oh,
so that's how bad the teaser was. I didn't even get the right game system.
Yeah, it was a... Okay, they're bringing Mechanicus back in there, which was the logical next step, because it was, they have all the Marines, they brought in Solar Auxilia. If it wasn't Custodes, it was going to be AdMech.
I'm so hoping for demons. Oh, well.
Well, I mean, demons, they already have plastic models.
It's like they're all generic. There's no, like, blood letters, demonettes. It's just lesser demons, greater demons. So I was like, oh, that's weird. So it's like the 5th edition Chaos Space Marine Codex all over again.
Have to bring 2,000 extra points of whatever demons you're summoning.
We don't want to bring that back. Oh my god! Yeah. What is that cart that you're wheeling towards the table? This is my demon collection. I will choose these 400 points. I'm like, oh, okay. It was nuts. Oh my god, it was absolutely nuts.
Yeah. The overall, I'm happy that stuff is getting moved into something that's a little more accessible to people. Inflation is still going to happen. It's still going to be expensive. But that is just something with a premium hobby. True. It's always going to have a big price tag.
I guess for me, it's just I feel like the company is still spread out too far. They have too many things going on. And they're still having trouble getting product to the shelves. And at this point, every time I see, like, say, a Warcry or a Underworld's army come out, says that could have been something like, I don't know, another plastic aspect warrior for Eldar. That could have been something added on to Custodes. For crying out loud, maybe another Harlequin unit. Wouldn't that be nice? So, yeah, exactly.
Or Dark Mechanicus.
Well, that was the other thing. Yeah. So, hey, Ray had posted, hey, these are the rumors of what's going to be revealed. And I'm kind of like, yeah, okay, that seems to be the trend. They still didn't introduce the could be the Dark Mechanicus Codex, but most likely be Imperial Agents. Did they even talk about that in the preview? Okay, I thought I missed it. Nope. I was like, wait a minute.
Nope.
So in case you haven't heard, supposedly the Mystery Codex is going to be Imperial Agents. So yes, the three of you with your couple characters can muster up a few Imperial models and off you go.
So someone shows up with Imperial Agents. Okay, all of your dudes have loan op. All of them are single models. Yeah. I'm going to take Assassinate. Thank you.
And teleport.
Oh, you have three Calidus Assassins that end up in my backline?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did have this idea, though, to balance this out. Because one of the things that really makes me angry about Imperial Agents is that, because it's only for Imperial Agents. So basically, if you pay an Imperium army, that you've got three or four codices to draw on, you know, for flushing out your army. I have my Assassins, I've got my Inquisitors, I've got, you know, Space Marines, maybe splashing a little Guard allies if they still do that. I'm just like, they need to come out with some sort of villains of, or like, basically all, they're Imperial Agents, but they're all one-off Xenos characters, and you can put them into all the other armies.
So like having a rogue psyker floating around, or
yeah. So supposedly, like the Tau have the Nakasser, I think it's pronounced, and those are the psychic beings that help them guide their ships. And then you've got like a Hrud that could be like your Vindicare assassin, that he'll work for anybody type thing. And then you throw in like another alien, and that could be your Evisor assassin that can be taken by all the non-imperial forces. Just kind of like just adding a couple of these one-off aliens that we've seen in the books 100 times, but because it doesn't make sense to come out with a Hrud army. That makes no sense at all. But maybe like one or two guys. Okay, that's kind of cool. Kind of like how Sisters of Silence can be added into an army or something like that. So,
yeah. The other thing that I could think of would be Necron Pariahs.
Oh, like, yeah,
that's how they reintroduce that, for Necrons having something specifically for, like, psychic defense.
Pretty cool. Models were terrible. Don't get me wrong. The stat line was awesome, but the models were such a pain in the neck to put together. But one thing we totally glossed over, one of the things they did mention was they gave a little hints towards the Chaos Space Marine Codex. And if you're a Tau player, you got to be, like, just scrumbling into your Cheerios in the morning going, like, are you kidding me? How many detachments did they say are in the Chaos Space Marine Codex?
8.
That's right. A whopping
for each point, 8. I guess. Oh my god.
Yep, they memed it.
Holy cow. We were before the show, right before you got on, Robert and I were kind of trying to figure out what the 8 detachments would be. I think we nailed it.
So, obviously you have the generic one that everyone has, so your good old Renegade Space Marines. Then you have Black Legion, Emperor's Children, Iron Warriors, Night Lords and or Alpha Legion. That's the Legion I was forgetting about. Then you have the Word Bearers, Vashtor, and Fabius Vile.
Well, that was more than 8.
That's why I lumped Alpha Legion in with Night Lords, because they're both kind of clandestine, spooky kind of Marines.
And I could see them being just like the Vanguard detachment we've seen in the Space Marine Codex. So, you know, kind of things going on and off the table all the time.
Yeah. I'll give you one other thing. You could probably clump together the Servants of Vashtor and the Iron Warriors.
Well, they, in the article, when they talked about the Chaos Lords from the Adepticon thing, they made a specific mention of a detachment for Vashtor right at the end. So it was like, okay, one for him. Why isn't he in Iron Warriors? Probably because of the fact that he's an independent agent amongst Chaos. He's not attached to the Iron Warriors. So,
right.
But yeah, I can feel for Tau players going, we can count on a single hand how many detachments we have. We don't even use all of our fingers.
I think they only have 4.
Because crews have how many fingers?
Unless the shaper makes changes. So anyway. You know, it's between that and I heard a couple times this past week after the Codex has been leaked and the new Crisis suits. There was a rumor that's been floating around since 9th edition, and like we've brought it up on the show a few times, and I just was like, I felt stupid saying it. It's like, no, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Now I'm going like, kind of wish they did that. Do you remember when they kept saying the Crisis suits were going to become the new Obliterators? That basically it didn't matter what guns you glued on the Crisis suits, you just had 3 weapon profiles, you choose one before shooting. And we're like, that's preposterous. And now I'm like going, oh, that would have been really cool.
Yeah, because then all the people that are sitting here going, here's all my ion blasters and a missile pod, blah, 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 blah. It's like,
just look cool at this point. They just all look was. Cool. You've got 3 profiles. You got your anti-horde, your anti-elite, and your anti-tank profile. Have at it. They're just called.
You guys all wanted to spam these weapons? Well, guess what? Now you're stuck with this.
Combi weapon solution that they had also earlier in the edition. I was like, you know what? I'm surprised they didn't do that now.
Yeah, just watching these Crisis suits just fly up and go, hold up, I gotta rotate my arms for the right gun.
I kind of look at like an in Transformers, you know, where the guns come out, they have all the different guns that pop out. I was like, that would be really cool, actually. I think that'd be kind of neat. So, oh well, didn't happen. But what did happen at Adepticon? Because there's actually a couple games that were played.
Indeed. There was 259 players for the singles event. It's not even started on the team event.
If you're going to go to Adepticon, do the team event. But do your homework ahead of time. Matter of fact, if you're listening to this, you're already late for next year.
Yeah. So, the top cut of Adepticon rounded out to be something like Justin Cook in 5th place with said Tau Empire. And in 4th place is Kevin Leonard with Demons. 3rd place is Sean Reynolds with Necrons. 2nd place is TJ Lanigan, a very familiar name back to playing Thousand Suns from, I believe the last arm he played was Chaos Demons.
Space Marines or Demons, I can't remember. So,
and the winner of the event was Brandon Volley with
Tau. I hear giving me updates all weekend long about how this game went. How does a Tau army win the oldest fan-run super major in the world?
Well, kind of comes down to two things. One, a little bit of poor strategizing on the part of the Thousand Sons player, and a lot more bodies on the table on the part of the Tau player.
So let's start with break that up. So the strategizing, what went wrong for TJ?
I missed bits and pieces of it because of what time it was actually aired, but essentially there were a few instances where he should have gone after certain models, and instead he went after others. So the Tau player had a pretty solid control of the middle of the board.
So target priority, big issue there. And so by the time he was swung back, he just didn't have enough, too many bodies in the way.
Yeah, it pretty much got to the point where, like, I heard TJ say something along the lines of, yeah, at this point, I can't even get anything other than some secondary points.
Do the gambit.
If only that were a viable idea sometimes.
If you start planning for it, you know what? Sorry to derail the topic here for a second. But so many top players say the game is decided by the end of turn two. And I'm going like, okay, this is what... Yeah, I don't agree with that. Or is this me being ignorant to the chess master across from me? But by end of three, I have a pretty good idea. Can I score 30 points on primary before this game's over? And a lot of times I'm going, nah, ain't going to happen. But I have a chance if I do this instead. And that's where I'm like, you know what? I want to do a Hail Mary, because losing's losing at that point. You know, I think specifically in our league, you do get rewarded on your battle point score. So that's where I was like, I'm going for the gambit. If I get 30 extra points, that just helps my overall ranking. It kind of helps my differential a little bit in terms of getting a better league score. And I was so close. So close. That came to pulling it off. So they're not it. All I can say is, hey, if the game doesn't mean anything, try it.
Yeah, and that's a very valid point. The logic I have on it is, if you guys are playing a really tight game and both of you have scored 20 points on primary, that's when you go, maybe, just maybe I can get the last 30 points on primary using the gambit and do something silly.
Yeah, I'll give you the two examples of the last two games I played. So last game I didn't because we were tied. And I think at that point we were pretty close. And it was one of those, I was like, okay, I think I can steal one of his objectives. And then therefore he's got to figure out, he's got to pull units off other objectives to get it back. So I was like, okay, I think I can make this happen. Spoiler alert, I screwed up a sequencing of my pain tokens and messed it up. But anyway, whereas the other game, I was playing Canoptic Court, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not killing anything. So the chances that he keeps, we're also doing ritual, and he keeps creating more and more objectives. So the chance of him not getting a 15 on the next two turns, zero, none. Even if I kill this Wraith squad, there's enough other stuff holding the other objectives. So that's where I went, screw it, I'm doing the gambit. And basically what it came down to is I had to get as many units as possible to the middle of the table. I think it's an emergency evacuation. And I had four units get there, no problem. And I had a transport with a unit inside. And he blows up the transport, and I roll enough ones to kill everything that was inside the transport. So I was like, oh, no. So you can't win with only four models in the front. I was like, I needed at least, because you have to get, I had to get more than four dice on a 4+. So I was like, I don't even have enough dice to get to this goal. Had that Raider survived, no problem.
Yeah, it's not impossible. It's just one of those things where if it happens, both you and your opponent are going to be either, holy crap, that worked, or mm-hmm. did did you just do that?
You do have to plan out, I mean, ahead of time too, because it's, you got to have, and kind of to what Ray was alluding, if you've got more units on the board, you can pull it off. And that's usually what happens, is you got to have somehow keep your units alive towards turn five. And that's always the hard part, is if you're already losing a primary, you're probably in danger of watching your army evaporate. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Looking at Brandon's record through the event, I think this is the first time I've seen this. He had a 100-point draw.
Yeah, I saw that. It was crazy.
I wonder if you would be jerk enough to go, is that really battle ready? Let's see if I can deduct this 10 points to get the win.
Like, okay, so it's it was Tau against Eldar, which at that point I can completely understand. If you and your opponent legitimately choose to not interact with each other, like, you sit there and you go and do all your other secondaries.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
But it must have been a tight game to end with a perfect 100-point tie.
Now, of course, it wouldn't be Adepticon if it weren't talking about the hobby end of things. And normally we don't talk about this part, but it is a competitive part of the game. The Golden Demon winner was absolutely breathtaking.
Yeah. I don't get blown away by fancy models very much, but this made me, like, kind of jealous.
Is that the one you shared in the group messenger?
Yes. So for those of you that might see it on social media or that were there, this miniature was a fairly tall miniature. It looked like to be about 8 inches tall. And it was the scene of a lone person standing underneath a tree by the edge of a lake. But when you look at it, you almost think that there's like mirrors in play. No, they legitimately mirrored the scene that was on top, tree and everything, upside down to look like a reflection of a vampire walking next to a lake.
So when you look at the reflection, the vampire on the top, this is your typical model that you've seen, but the reflection, all the fleshy parts have been removed. It's just the armor. And then he has one of those spirit host things floating past it. So it was just all this again. My wife actually asked a really good question. How did he glue all that together?
Yeah. Like the fact that the tree is like a single branch on top. How the heck do you do? Yeah, how do you glue that to a base? Probably with like a pin or something.
Thing that we've all dealt with. How did he transport that to Chicago?
Yeah, the guys that do the doubles events with the crazy display boards. I've not seen that in person yet, but I've seen photos of the display boards, and I'm like, yeah, no, I wouldn't want to drive home with that either. But yes, indeed, congratulations to all of the top contenders, whether it was through generalship or paintsmanship out at Adepticon this year. Who knows? I might be able to drag Ray and kidnap Eric, realistically, to go to Adepticon next year.
Maybe we can form our own team.
No. We go as the mercs. We stay in the middle tables. We have a nice time. And then we somehow go 5-0. We're like, whoop!
I thought we were bringing Eric.
Yeah. Drag down that 5-0 dream.
Not that I can say I'd do any better.
But yes, as jokes aside, going on to our next event, I would say it's little, but it's kind of not, is the Manchester Super Major. 271 folks.
Now that says something, that we have two events, we've already topped over 500 players. I mean, I'd love to see, like, what was the size of the very first Adepticon back in the day? You know, it's hobby's come a long way that we can have two events that's this size and then just like, yep, we just keep going.
Mm-hmm. But the top five of the Manchester Super Major rounded out to be Kyle Grundy is sadly the guy that bubbled out. So he's in fifth place with Tao. In fourth place is Richard Grint with AdMech.
For a minute there, I thought you said Rupert. It's like, Grint, isn't that the guy who played like Ron Weasley in Harry Potter? But that's...
Well, no, the thing that got me was AdMech?
I've seen some pretty neat AdMech. What? I think it's one of those AdMech is strong enough. It's just not an easy army to play right now compared to where it was.
I think it's just proof that the England meta is just that much different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because looking at this guy's list, there is not a single chicken to be seen. Yep, it's all Cerberus Sulfur Hounds, Infiltrators, the Taraxi jump pack guys, some Doom Riders, Electro Priests, a lot of Vanguard, some Rangers. Like he has it called Escape from Trash Mountain. That's hilarious. So it's quite literally he's throwing all of his bodies at you and he says you can't kill all of us.
Well, there's something to be said for that.
But moving on, in third place is Tony Chu with Eldar. In second place is David Gaylord with Astra Militarum. And then first place is Josh Roberts with Necrons.
So Josh continues to dominate with his Necrons. Nice to see that David's also keeping his streak alive, proving to the world that Astra Militarum is actually a very potent army to be dealt with.
Yep. I'd like to play against it one of these days, but the person here in the valley that I know plays guard is currently playing Space Marines. So...
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll probably hop over to guard here in a little while.
I think I'll jump him. That's the person I think it is. He likes to play the net lists, so.
But I mean, he's a good guy. We have a really tight game all the time, at least in my experience so far. But moving on to the next event, we hop on up to Canada to the All Is Dust event. About 56 players. Pretty sure it was filled with guys who couldn't make it to Adepticon. The top five round out to be something like Colby Hopkins. Nope, that's the wrong event. There we go. Matt Schuckman with Eldar. Fourth place is Ridvan Martinez, a.k.a. Scarry himself. Third place is Eric Marco. Second place is Jeremy Atkinson with Ravenwing, so Space Marines. And first place is Chris Haynes with Custodes.
You see the crazy part about this top five, right?
Not a single Necron in sight.
There is that.
But no, Ray, what is the piece that I'm missing?
The top three all tied their final round.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
What's
How does one do that?
I'm a little flabbergasted at the fact that they all tied at 10.
Oh, because they're doing differential.
So presumably...
yeah, it's all differential scores.
Is it? Oh, I don't remember them mentioning that when I was... Because I watched... They had streamed this on a YouTube channel I just found out about yesterday.
Well, I think it's more of a... When the person might have set up the event, they might have set it to differential scoring. So when players put in their score, it translated to this. I don't know. Or it could have been intentional.
Oh, no, it looks like it's probably intentional. I just looked at the overview and it mentions that they're doing WTC tables. So they probably in their player packets are like, yeah, we're going to do WTC scoring too.
I mean, it would make the most sense.
Yeah.
But yeah. Let's see. This Raven Wing list, is this the one that's running around making my head hurt?
The double Storm Raven list? It is.
Yep. Yep. Double Storm Raven, Thunderstrike, a triple Redemptor Dreadnought, a Dark Shroud. Yeah. And when you read the title and the notes of his list, his title is, I guess it has Ravenwing in it? Question mark? And then his one note is, everyone should blame Kit Smith Hanna for unleashing this on the world. I'm not even sorry about it.
I guess it has Ravenwing in it? Question mark?
Yeah, that's the title of the list. I think that top one is just kind of a note. But, yeah, it's... Isn't very much
one,
yeah, Asriel,
technically two models.
Yeah, it's the Dark Shroud and Asriel.
I was gonna say technically the Storm Speeder would fall under Ravenwing,
but those are all generic Space Marine models outside of the Dark Shroud and Asriel.
True.
So yeah, it's rather perplexing that the top three all tied their last game, because Chris had to play Jeremy, which made sense. Who did Eric have to play? Eric had to play...
Well, assuming it's Josh at sixth.
Yeah, and when you click on the pairings, yes, it's exactly that. So, yeah, that's a weird oops-a-daisies on scoring, if I ever saw one. And then the last event that we have for this weekend, and I don't know if Eric has been trying to talk, but he's currently muted.
Nope, I'm right here.
Or maybe he fell asleep at the computer again.
Okay. You were just quiet for that entire ramble.
Nothing else to add? You guys covered it well.
AKA, we rambled so much that Eric decided to go get a drink of water.
I was like, what is the oddity? Then the fact that they all tied, and then we confirmed it. I was like, okay, it's one of the things I've heard a lot about the drawbacks of the ETC scoring is, if you don't win by a significant amount, all of a sudden you get counted as a tie, and some people have a problem with that. But I'm like, I don't know, the difference between an 81-80 win is still, it's pretty, both players played really well in that case. So,
yeah. So the last event we have for tonight is the Rose Hammer 2 all the way back here in Oregon. So we never left the continent, I guess. Except for Manchester. But, I mean, that was a really big event. So, with Rosehammer, the top five rounded out to be Colby Hopkins with Space Wolves. Fourth is Daniel Minlin with Grey Knights. Third place is Enrique Gavina with Necrons. Second place is Nicholas Olsen Johnson with Thousand Suns. And first place is Donald Plummer.
So Tau won two events this weekend.
Yep. One of them was the biggest event this weekend, aside from the Manchester GT. And then this event out in Oregon.
Well, it seems like some of the stronger Tau players have decided to put down their secondary armies and get ready for the new codex.
Yep. And looking at this Tau list, it is... Double Riptide with some Tetras. And, yep, he legitimately has it as one last hurrah before... Oh, because he has Anva, and Anva's going away. The normal commander's going away, but, yeah. Pretty effective, because he has one big brick of Crisis Suits and Double Riptide. If I had Tau, I would only play Triple Riptide.
There was a time I had Triple Riptide.
The model just looks so cool.
They are pretty cool. I do like the Ghost Keel, too. That was the one model I never got my hands on.
Yeah, that's a cool model.
But yeah, otherwise, that's all the events that we had for this weekend. So
real quick, I have,
what else you guys got?
This week... In mid-table obscurity, updated through the last few weeks, So this will be for the month of March. The top five armies appeared the most in 3-2 or 2-3 records. So the largest one, making up almost 10% of those armies, is Necrons. So apparently the lure of winning lots of events, but also I only have to paint my armor bulk on silver with a slight wash and get them onto the table, is very attractive to lots of players. Followed closely behind with 8% of the meta of the mid-tables is Adeptus Custodes. So if you don't have bulk on metal, you can switch to gold and you're good to go. But this is a huge change. Number three is Death Guard. Leaping up into the realm, followed closely by Eldari, and then, of course, Space Marines. There's always a lot of Space Marine players. So they make up the top five. Astra Militarum just outside the top five, as is Tyranids falling out of the top five for the first time this year of the mid-table obscurity. So very, very interesting to see that.
Yeah, it's the Death Guard bit is quite a curveball. Like, is it because people have some kind of secret smelly sauce with Death Guard, or is it just like how Custodes, where it's fairly easy to
transport? I go with the transport idea first. I've been hearing a lot of top players saying that, you know, Death Guard they're starting to see new builds with them doing much better. So maybe people are listening to that and giving them a try. I don't know. But on the other hand, like Dark Angels is way down there at 3%. So like half as many players are playing Dark Angels as they are Death Guard. So that's kind of bizarre. Death Watch is way at the bottom still. Nobody's playing Death Watch at all, which is weird. Thousand Sons, which is one of the top armies in the game, as is Sisters of Battle, you're just not seeing them at the mid-tables. Both of them are about 2 or 3% of the meta at the mid-tables. So very interesting how this all kind of fleshes out. You know, Black Templars are still really popular for winning events. They just behind Tyranids. Then Orcs sneak in there, which is like there's almost as many Orc players as there are Black Templar players in the mid-tables. Very, very strange. So
what needs to happen is a giant Orc versus Templar dog pile. The wall lasts a number of turns equal to the number of Orc players.
That'd be a big It's bad enough when you go to an event and like one wall, you hear one wall and then hear the other wall, and it's like this never ending trail of people screaming wah.
No. It's just a single little red button you put on the table, and you hit it, and at that point, it's going to last for the entire game.
But it's very different. So, and it's interesting to see that, because there's a couple of armies I was like, kind of tailoring my army to fight against, and I'm like, oh, they're not in the mid table, so maybe I'll never see them. Oh, interesting. So. Just an anomaly in our local league, I guess.
Yeah, I'm still flip-flopping between my two lists for Custodes, because I probably have enough time to paint one. I probably don't have enough time to paint both.
So this is what you're bringing to Scorched Earth?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And Ray, you got hit with some bad conversion rule news, so...
No, not even conversion rules. So I've been kind of bouncing around about my list because lately I've been feeling that my Crusader may be better off on the shelf for Scorched Earth and maybe replaced with a few Helverins. But in doing so, I ended up with 80 points left over. And so I messaged the person running Scorched Earth, because that's not you anymore, Eric. And I said, hey, I just want to run it by you first. Is there any issue with me bringing the Warhammer Plus Vindicare Assassin? It's an official Warhammer model. There's no conversion done with it. He said no. For reasons he felt that... model, which I don't know how much taller it is than the regular one off the top of my head. He said that because it was taller that he felt it was gaming for advantage, basically, because it has a lone op rule.
See, I could have swore that model had its own data sleep. So, I can't find it anywhere. So, okay.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, the size difference between the normal Vindicare and then the special edition Vindicare is pretty substantial. The blah, 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 special edition Vindicare is around like 7 or 8 inches tall.
No, it's not.
Again, I'm making a bad size judgment here, but I know it's easily like twice the height as the normal Vindicare because of the statue.
Okay. Well, I know it's like 3 inches tall. I don't know how tall the current plastic one is. I know that part of the height that the current regular one has is in the pillar, which, I mean, it's part of the model, so you could measure off of it. And every tournament I've been to that I've brought it so far, everybody's been fine with it. So, but it's a call that was made for the tournament, so, you know, I'll abide by it.
Yeah, there's not much that we can really do about it.
Nope.
Because that's why you always get models approved by TOs, folks. So that way you have time to swap around models if need be.
We're definitely going into a little borrow hammer here. So,
So Ray, would you like to make me rush and paint up my Evisor Assassin? So you can use it?
No. I've got a... Assuming I don't decide not to bring a Vindicare, I've got one lined up to borrow.
Okay, dokie.
Think so.
Yeah, I got 14 more wardens to do. I'm not happy about it. But that's what I get for procrastinating. We got, what,
2 weeks before the event?
Yeah. I say like a week, knowing how much time I have on my hands.
But basically it's the Saturday after Easter is what we're talking about here.
Yeah. I just know for me, my schedule's weird and I'm not going to be able to paint it all that fast. But we will sure try.
I had a feeling my schedule would be a problem. That's one of the reasons I backed out of Scorched Earth back in, November, I think is when I made the announcement. And that's indeed the case. Looks like I'll be out of town touring colleges with my daughter. So I will be missing the event. So you guys have to tell me all about it when I get back.
I will attempt to do actual footage with me being there. Ray might be better at that because I get sidetracked.
I'm going to try to do something akin to what you've done in the past, Eric. We're just quick blurbs in between rounds.
Yeah, it's probably the easiest thing I always do is just interview the guy I was playing against and let them kind of, and you can add those in. So that'd be good coverage as well. Appreciate if you guys can do something like that. Be really good. Also help promote the event.
Yeah. But otherwise,
that's it for this week.
I think that's pretty much it for this week.
Yeah, it's a lot going on. So next weekend is actually Easter. As far as we could tell, there were not a lot of events planned other than our family events. So we'll be taking a week off from there. And then week after that, we'll be at Scorched. Well, some of us will be at Scorched Earth. So let's go from there and get you guys updated. So in the meantime, look for any other updates on our both Facebook page and Instagram. In the meantime, my name's Eric, and thank you for listening to the Exterminators Podcast.
Hey, listeners, this is Raymond with the Exterminators Podcast here to talk to you about KR cases. If you're like me and you're constantly looking for that better way to store your armies, then look no further than KR cases. That's right, this is the foam company known for their soft blue foam in the cardboard cases. They're a great way to mix and match whenever you're heading out for that next tournament. You can just swap out those boxes and no need to worry about switching the foam in and out. They're sturdy, the boxes help protect your models, and when you order, they come fast, the order is right, and for a better price than the other guy. So go to krcases.com, and when you place your order, be sure to mention the Exterminators Podcast.
So, friends, I have a very, very important question. Is your beer keg boring? Does it not have enough tentacles coming out of it? Does it not taste as funny as you remember because you didn't put a tear in it? Well, the wonderful makers of the Necro Nom 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 to replace your average pizza decided to come out with another book of the Lovecraft Cock. So they're from RedDukeGames.com, and it will guide you through 78 different kinds of cocktails to summon a demon, summon a space bug. Who knows? Either way, it's going to be a very, very wonderful time, and we would highly recommend that you try to not ingest too many while at the gaming table, because we don't know exactly what's going to happen when you roll Perils of the Warp or you roll a natural one on your persuasion check if you decide to play indeed. So if you're looking for fanciful drinks, go ahead and grab the Lovecraft Cocktails by the madmen at RedDukeGames.com, the makers of the Necro Nom Nom.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.